I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 17d, Mystery Babylon Revealed. You know what? I can't tell you how many times I've been over these chapters about Mystery Babylon and Revelation, and I missed something very important. And I'm going to share that with you here today. And really that is that there are two different New World Orders. And it starts out with Mystery Babylon reigning over the beast for a period here. Basically a period from all the way from the beginning, probably since Cain left the Garden of Eden, all the way until Babylon the Great falls. And then 10 kings reign with the beast. You know, most or a lot of people I know anyways, and how I always looked at it as Mystery Babylon reigned all the way until the end, until Jesus returned. But we're going to see here in this study that that's not the case. Babylon, let me repeat, Babylon falls before the rise of the 10 kings who reign 1 hour or one period of time with the beast or with the Antichrist. So here we see her sitting on the beast, and here she's not. And it's the horns that are in control. And we're going to explain this mystery a little bit more. But we could break this, or this is a possibility that this may be broken up in this manner. That the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years of Daniel, last 7 years of the of this earth age, could be where Mystery Babylon reigns supreme. And then falls right at the midst of the week, and then the 10 horns rule for the last 3.5 years or the last 42 months with the beast. All right, that's just speculation at this point. But nevertheless, again, there is a point where Babylon falls and the 10 horns reign with the beast. Same beast, just no woman over the beast. And this will, if you're paying really close attention during this study and you continue these series of studies with us, I believe this will make a lot of sense to you. So basically what we have here is we have two enemies in the last days. We have Mystery Babylon, who sits on the beast, who rules over the beast. And we have the beast himself. All right, Revelation 17, verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So, in other words, he doesn't admire her. He wonders with astonishment. So Mystery Babylon persecutes and murders the saints as well as the martyrs of Jesus, going all the way back to Cain, I believe, or going all the way back to Abel, whose blood was shed by Cain. Mystery Babylon being that false religious system created by Cain and his descendants. Religious and economic system. But anyways, we get to Revelation 13, verse 7. It says, and it was given unto him, the beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So two enemies of Christianity in the last days. That's important. That is very important. Many people don't see the fact that we do have two enemies. All right? I don't know why I have two kings hate Mystery Babylon, but it should be the 10 kings hate Mystery Babylon. So please fix that for yourself here. And I'm going to read it here. Revelation 17, verse 16, and the 10 horns, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. You know, again, 10 kings, not two kings. That's what these 10 horns symbolize. This kind of caused me to stumble for many years. I was thinking, how is it that Mystery Babylon, I mean, she does all these wonderful things for Satan's kingdoms. Why in the world would the 10 kings hate her? Especially when they'll turn around and make war against Christ, as we're going to find out here in this chapter. Well, I believe I've got it figured out. I shouldn't say I. Yeah, hesitated to say that. I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed a simple answer. And we're going to talk about that here in this study. But first, let's start out by reading Revelation 17, verse 5. And it begins, and upon her forehead. Now, it's important that we understand who Mystery Babylon is in the last days. I had a chart out in the prior studies that we were going to focus in on two of the options that many people discuss today, and that is that New York City is the fountainhead of the New World Order, with the Wall Street and the United Nations and all of the other, you know, international banking schemes headquartered there, as well as Babylon rebuilt in the last days in ancient Babylon. Well, as I've been doing some more studying, more and more do I lean towards New York ultimately being Babylon the Great. And not Babylon rebuilt for a number of reasons. Some of those I'll explain, but I'll just say this. She's called Mystery Babylon. And there's a reason. Mystery means it's something that most people don't understand. Well, everybody understands where Babylon used to be. And if Babylon got rebuilt today, everybody would know, hey, that's Babylon the Great. If it was the headquarters of the world. But we're going to find out that this is all part of a mystery. And we're also going to find out that, yes, Mystery Babylon had her beginnings in Babylon, but that she ruled over many empires. And we'll talk about these. Each head of this beast represents a different empire, of which she controlled throughout the ages. And guess what? Babylon, the great city Babylon, was not the headquarters of each and every one of those empires. It shifted. It shifted with, or it moved locations wherever that empire was that was controlling the world. Even, I believe, to this day. I'm leaning more towards New York City. And when we get to the 18th chapter, I'll probably go into that a little bit more in depth. But anyways, let's read the next verse. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great, not admiration, this is a poor translation there, it should be great astonishment. Okay, she's responsible for it. Remember, Mystery Babylon is symbolic of all of the false religions upon this earth. All of them. All of the pagan religions. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and the 10 horns. I mean, think about this for a minute. He's going to tell us, the angel said, hey, why are you marveling? I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to reveal to you the mystery of Mystery Babylon, and I'm going to tell you what the beast is as well. I'm going to tell you about those 7 heads and those 10 horns. So this is all interpreted here. Now, we haven't gone back to the book of Daniel yet, and I don't know how much we will, but the book of Daniel speaks of these very same things. The beast and the different parts of the beast and so forth. Anyhow, verse 8, and the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. So we know anything that comes out of that bottomless pit is something evil. It's a person, an entity, whether it's an evil spirit, an evil angel, some form of demonic. That's what comes out of that bottomless pit, or the abusos. But anyways, he says, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. Okay, he's going to have, again, Revelation 13, it says he receives a deadly wound, and he dies, and then he comes back to life by the aid of the dragon. Or it appears as though he comes back alive. But he just comes out of the bottomless pit because God allows it. But he doesn't get to live forever like Christ. That's why we call it a phony resurrection, a false resurrection, because he doesn't rise again to live forever. He rises again out of the bottomless pit, or he ascends out of the bottomless pit to go into perdition. We're talking about the Antichrist. The beast is the Antichrist, as well as the system that he controls, the kingdom that he rules. Anyways, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, this is key here. I believe this is really simple. They beheld the beast that was. Okay, they saw the beast. Then he died. Is not. And then they see him come back alive. Or they see him ascend out of the bottomless pit. And that is the and yet is. So many people look at this as though maybe the beast, it's the resurrection of the Roman Empire, because the beast that was and is not and yet is. But no, this is specific. It says when they, now check this out, when they, who's they? Everybody who's living on the earth at that time. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. In other words, this is going to be something. They'll see all three of these things. They'll see him when he was, is not, and yet is. All right? Very important. Very important, because this is the miracle. That one of the miracles that Christ spoke of, I believe it was in Matthew 24, Mark 13, that could deceive even the very elect, if that were possible. Because this is the miracle that is going to cause people to worship the beast, or to worship the Antichrist. You think about it. The reason why we are Christians today is because we believe in the death and resurrection of Christ, as well as many other things. But that's the basics. This is a counterfeit of that. And it's not done like Christ did. He kind of sort of did it in private, left a few signs. The Antichrist does it for all to see. And all the world will wonder after the beast and the dragon, or after the Antichrist and Satan himself. They will worship him because of this, because he comes out of the abyss. All right. And here is the mind. Now check this out. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. Now, the only other place that we find that in Revelation is in the 13th chapter when dealing with calculating or computing the number of the beast. So this is pretty important. This isn't something that just everybody understands or it's something that's very simple. This is something that we strive for. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And in other words, these mountains aren't where the woman sits all at once. A lot of people say, well, Rome is the city of seven hills or whatever. Yeah, maybe that was there as a type so that, you know, you'd recognize the beast in control. But the mountains symbolize nations, kingdoms, different geographical centers of power. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. All right, we're going to explain this here. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. And one is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So what do we see here? There are seven kings, which these heads represent. And it's not something... they're not all reigning at once, these seven. This part of the beast, the heads of the beast anyhow, rule one after the other. So we're given a list of consecutive kingdoms that rule the world with Mystery Babylon ruling over them all. And we'll explain what that is. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So five of them are fallen during John's time. One is during John's time. And the other is not yet come. Let's look at that. The seven heads of the beast. Egypt. Now the seven heads of the beast that Mystery Babylon reigned over. Egypt. Now all these lists of empires that we're going to talk about here, these are known as the great pagan empires. The empires that were ruled by false gods and that had world domination. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia. Number five, Greece. And check this out. Number six, the one that it, remember, five are fallen. These were past history to John. John lived during the sixth head of the beast, which was Rome. The one that is yet to come is the Antichrist, who reigns for 7 years. That's a short time compared to Rome. I think Rome, if I'm not mistaken, reigned for like 666 years. Hundreds of years these empires each reigned for, each had dominance over the world. So 7 years is really a short time. Remember, that's what was given in the explanation. That the one that is to come only has a very short time as the kingdom of the Antichrist, the new world order. All right, so this woman, Mystery Babylon, though the kings changed, though the locations changed, and even the gods changed, at least the names of the gods, she still reigns supreme. Now, I believe she represents the serpent seed, or the lineage of Cain, that have created this idolatrous system all the way back when Cain founded the city, went to the land of Nod, and then later on built some cities there. But that's what she represents. That false religious and economic system, pagan religious, economic and religious system that has always reigned over the earth. And in the 18th chapter, we'll talk more about monetary Babylon. It's all one and the same. You know, I believe some people say there's religious Babylon, then there's economic Babylon. I believe they're all tied together in one. All right. So here we have some examples of mystery Babylon traveling through the different cultures. Ishtar of Assyria. This was Babylon as well. I don't know if they had the same god or not. Isis of Egypt. All right. Ashtoreth of Phoenicia. And Venus of Rome. Now, I believe that's the same picture that they're using in both areas here. But nevertheless, when you look at all the pagan cultures, you see basically the same gods just depicted differently. You see Mystery Babylon still in control, still riding that beast in great pride, causing the earth and the kings of the earth to commit fornication with her, again in the spiritual sense. But nevertheless, this type of stuff does happen in the physical as well, amongst the hierarchy. Anyways, moving on to verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Well, wait, what's going on here? The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. This is the son of perdition. This is the Antichrist. It says he's both the seventh and the eighth king, though there are only seven heads to the beast. Now, this is so simple. This part is. After looking at it, you know, I say it's so simple now, but it took me years to figure this one out. You know, maybe almost 15 years of studying the Bible to figure this out, and it's plain as day. Now, let me explain this to you. Seven heads of the beast we knew were, sorry, I had to go through these here, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, then the Antichrist comes, right? Remember, he receives a deadly wound. Remember in Revelation 13, one of the heads were wounded to death. So what happens? He comes back alive, and though it's only seven heads, he's the eighth king. Same head, same seventh head, same kingdom, same king. But probably what we have here is the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years, the seventh king and the eighth king. So let's just say we pick this head as the Antichrist here. This head gets killed, dies, comes back alive, is one and the same head. You see that there? I'm going to go backwards so you can see that. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven. He's of those seven kings, the seven heads, and goeth into perdition. Thus, I believe the deadly wound is easily explained as the death and resurrection, or false resurrection, of the Antichrist. There's no other way to explain how he can be both the seventh and the eighth king. And I believe it's said just plain as day. Just like the angel said, he said, hey, John, don't marvel. I'm gonna tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast. And there you have a great deal of it. All throughout the ages, false religion has intoxicated the minds of men, has diluted the minds of men away from God, being the prime goal of this woman, who is a symbol of Satan's seed on this earth, the symbol of the system that they've developed to steal the minds of God's children away from Almighty God, to get them lusting after the flesh, lusting after false gods, and so on. She's been a tool, a very successful tool, since the beginning of time. And it is in America today. She's rampant in America today. You go to our pop music, not just that, but that's one example, where they're actually doing pagan ceremonies on stage. It's in the heavy metal stuff. It's all over our culture today. She symbolizes sexual immorality, whether it be homosexuality, adultery, pornography, you name it. We talked about that in the last study. She is the symbol of all perversion. Verse 12, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." So what does that tell us? These kings reign together, whereas the seven kings, or the seven heads that represented kings of the beast, reigned one after the other, not at the same time. That's very important. They're going to reign 1 hour. That means one period with the beast. One period of time. "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." In other words, they're going to willfully give their kingdom to the Antichrist, submit their kingdoms to the Antichrist. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." They that are with Christ. So there we have it. These 10 kings are our enemies. Mystery Babylon was as well. And we can see in America that our enemy, we have two enemies today, two major enemies. We have Mystery Babylon, which is symbolizes moral perversion, moral decay, depravity, false religions, paganism, all this filth we see on our TVs, that's Mystery Babylon. All that filth we see worked into our religion, trying to sneak into Christianity, New Age, Spiritism, occultism. I may add about Mystery Babylon, and I forgot to add it, the reason why she's called Mystery, she is a secret. Secret societies have secret societies, or mystery schools, they call them. That's how Mystery Babylon has gained control over the kings of the earth. Some people call it a shadow government. That's what Mystery Babylon is. She does it in secret. Some of her things in secret. A lot of the stuff we see today, the effects of her secret dealings are flooding our nation today. Like I said, America started out as a Christian nation. Though there had always been tares among the wheat, or the dirty birds lodged in the branches, working for a different goal. And their goal, many people, they talk about lost Atlantis. I think Plato talked about it. And there is another guy, Bacon, talked about it. There's always this dream of having this other place somewhere over across the Atlantic. Some said it was a place that used to exist and was wiped out, and others believe that it's a place that was to be built. And it seems the occult and the secret societies had different plans for America than our founding fathers did, than the pilgrims. And they wanted to build this utopia that would take over the world, which would be none other than Mystery Babylon. And it's their plans have come to pass. I mean, if you look at America today, I'm not talking about the heartland. I'm talking about the cities and the centers that are polluting America. If you were to look at America today and you were to compare it with Babylon of old, I don't think you would see much difference. You know, in fact, and I don't have the picture up here, but Kali, I wish I had this picture. Maybe I'll have to bring it into one of our other studies. It was on the Empire State Building in New York where they had a light show and they put the demon Kali. They lit up the Empire State Building with that false goddess, with that demon. A wicked woman. And I'm going to have to try to bring that up in another study so you'd see. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is that if you were to compare the two, America now and in the coming years would look like a greater version of Babylon of old. I know people won't like to hear that, but we're going to find out that God's people are going to be called to come out of Babylon, meaning that God's people reside in Babylon. You see, Mystery Babylon has hijacked America and has turned it into something that our founding fathers did not envision, turned it into something totally opposite of what the pilgrims wanted to build here. They wanted to be a city upon a hill and a light unto the world. And now we've become a cesspot of filth where we murder our babies. We celebrate homosexual marriage. I think it's almost like, I can't remember how many percent. I'll just roughly say 50% of families out there, 50% of children don't even have a father. My friends, if Babylon of old and that little location in the middle of the desert was considered Babylon, today when we look at America, I can see. I can see that the scriptures may be referring to us in these latter days as Babylon the Great. That great superpower that is now not spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world anymore, but is rather trying to spread, in the words of George W. Bush or George Bush Sr., a new world order. And when his son gave some speeches, he said it was an ancient hope that was meant to be filled when referring to a new world order. This is very important because we're going to see how this all starts fitting together and making sense. Verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, Mystery Babylon has spread throughout the entire world, spreading her false religions, spreading her false economy, built off of usury and debt and fraud. But not only this, Mystery Babylon moves locations. She goes wherever it is convenient for her to wield her power. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. What in the world is this talking about? You know, for years I read this verse and I'm thinking, well, wait a second, Mystery Babylon, doesn't she exist all the way until the end and is the kingdom of the Antichrist? Why in the world would the 10 horns turn around and destroy her? In a graphic way, it says they hate the whore and they take her, they strip her naked, they take her clothes off and they actually eat her and burn her with fire. Well, here is a simple explanation. Mystery Babylon was only a means to an end. A means to put the Antichrist in power. All this time, that's the only reason Satan's been using her. And then when he's done using her, and he's ready to set up the beast, the son of perdition, as the king of this world along with the 10 kings, he has no use for this woman anymore. You think about it, what would happen to a whore today when her pimp is done using her? They don't care about her. They never did care about her. They were only using those prostitutes for their own gain. And then when they're done, they could care less. They could kill them. They could burn them with fire. Well, you know what? That's what Satan does with Mystery Babylon. But what's interesting about this, you could think of it as Satan is the pimp. She was the prostitute. He's done using her. Now he can get rid of her. He can destroy her. Now think about the implications of what I was saying about New York City, which I believe we even had a sign of this or a signal of it. When the World Trade Centers were burned down to the ground. I believe that was a sign to Mystery Babylon. And what did we do? We went and built another tower up in defiance. We didn't repent to God and say, look at God, we're sorry for our sins. No, we're going to build it bigger, stronger, and better. Think about that for a minute. So if we were to look at this woman as New York and possibly extending throughout America today, when Satan's done using America to try to spread his New World Order, try to spread democracy around the world that he can later convert into something else, he's got no more use for her. So what we might start seeing in the future is America be totally disregarded by the world and hated. Now, I'm going to say this. There are people that hate America. Not necessarily because of the Christians here, but because of Mystery Babylon. Because of Hollywood. Because of the false economic system run by the Kenites. They hate Mystery Babylon, and that's why they targeted this city. That's why they targeted the World Trade Centers, which represents Mystery Babylon's fraudulent system in the end. We're talking about the Islamists here. They hate the decadence of the Western world. So could it be, and I'm not saying this is the case, could it be that the Ten Horns attack New York and America and then gain world dominance with the Antichrist? You know, it sure seems like that when we're watching the news today, we're watching what the president is doing. Seems like he has his Islamic ties. He was born a Muslim. Either way you look at it, the woman loses her power, and the ten horns, the ten kings, take over. And there is a confederacy of ten kings, and I believe it's Psalms 83, that if you look through that list, I believe include many of the nations today that are Islamic. Very interesting. You know, all throughout history, God has used, he'd raise up one kingdom and then punish that kingdom with another kingdom. And he would do that. You know, and you look at the decadence of the morals in America today, and then you have these other people that look at us and hate us for that. It kind of makes sense that God would use those people to start punishing us. Speaking of terrorism and Islamic extremists, to make life uncomfortable for all those people in our nation that love to have this idea that, you know, we sit a queen. We're not a widow. America will never fall. We can do whatever we want. We can murder babies by the millions. We can celebrate gay marriage. We can, you know, raise the rainbow flag up over the White House. Anyways, I'll go back here. Another explanation. Now, Mystery Babylon, again, not only represents the city, a city in the end days, where Mystery Babylon's headquarters is, the world economic and religious pagan headquarters. But again, I'll say it this way. Mystery Babylon, being that she represents all false religion, check out this verse here. It seems to correlate exactly with Revelation 17:16 when referring to the Antichrist and what he's going to do. Verse 36 of Daniel 11, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself," now check this out, "above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods." What are these every gods? This is paganism. All those other gods that lived throughout history. But not only that, he's going to speak marvelous things against the true God. "And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers," nor, that's interesting, he's not going to regard the God of his fathers, referring to the Antichrist, his ancestors, "nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all." Now check this out, the desire of women. Who was Mystery Babylon? She was the mother of all the harlots, the mother of all the false religions, of all idolatry. He, the Antichrist, will not regard any of those. Think about that for a minute. Remember the ten horns of the beast. Hate the whore. They burn her flesh. They eat her flesh and burn her with fire. This is exactly what the Antichrist does when he comes into his kingdom. He gets rid of all other religions, even the ones that he used. Because it says his a God of his fathers, even the false religions that his fathers used to deceive, going all the way back to Cain, who his fathers used to deceive the souls of men. He has a shift here. He gets rid of the whore and exalts himself. Fascinating. It was there all the time. But yet, I couldn't see it years ago. And I tell you what, the only way that your eyes can be opened, you know, what did Christ say? You can't put new wine into an old wineskin. I've struggled with this before. I've got friends of mine. Hey, you tried to explain some of these beautiful truths to them. They are so set in their ways. That's not what the pastor that I learned from taught me. Or that, you know, and stuff like that. Old wineskins. It says it here plain as day. But you know what? Those, when we hold on to things that are our personal opinions or what we were taught by our pastor or our denomination, those little pet things, they block us from having an open mind to understanding God's word. We must set those aside, set aside preconceived notions, and just let the word speak. Again, you know, don't trust everything I'm saying. Do your own homework on these things. Cross-reference all these verses that we've been talking about. And just look at it with the perspective when you're looking at America today, how she's been hijacked and taken over by Mystery Babylon. It was even foretold of in Deuteronomy 28. But you just look at what's going on in our nation today. And how could you not see a great Babylon? How could you not see it? It's everywhere. People today will still wave our flag, but they don't wave the gospel. They don't say anything about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They worship liberty, the goddess of liberty. Remember the Statue of Liberty there out in front of New York? They worship her instead of the God who gives us liberty. There are many in the Tea Party movement today, including many libertarians. Not all libertarians, but many libertarians. They seek liberty first. They've made it into a god. What did God say? Seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom of God first, and you'll have freedom. So we have many conservatives today, even many that claim to be Christian, who serve the gods of Babylon. And some of that we'll get into in the 18th chapter. Verse 38 of Daniel 11, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not. Now, when I said conservatives, I'm saying that even conservatives, when you look at the liberals, they're all out and out Mystery Babylon worshipers, at least as far as the religious sense. You know, it's kind of interesting. When you break this down, I was talking to my wife about this. Many conservatives fall into the trap. Republicans, so-called Republicans, they fall into the trap. I guess I could use the term conservatives, though I consider myself a conservative, but many of them fall into the trap of promoting Babylon's economic system, while the liberals promote Babylon's religious system. And we'll talk more about the economic part of that. I'm not saying that capitalism is bad and we should have socialism or something crazy like that. but when we're looking at phony capitalism and the capitalism that we have today that's run off of, that's controlled by the money powers, that's something altogether different. That's something altogether different. And the Bible speaks about it in many different places. Anyhow, it's amazing on how this is all set up. You have two different camps that ultimately, for the most part, worship the same God. Just two different manifestations. Anyhow, for he shall magnify himself above all, but in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. In other words, he's going to start using force. Now, the Antichrist comes in peaceably right in the beginning, but then he turns here. And he honors the God of forces and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. I think this is probably referring to the image of the beast that all will be commanded to worship. But notice, he's going to do something that his fathers never did before. Different than Mystery Babylon. Remember Mystery Babylon? He doesn't regard her anymore. She's gone. She's done. Now I'm going to say this. If America represents Babylon the Great today, because of the Kenites getting into all of our centers of power and totally taking them over, if America does represent that, and our people living it up and being deceived by it. Again, if that is the case, then we got some serious things coming to America. When Satan's done using us, oh my goodness, we're going to be treated like a used up, good, worthless prostitute. And I can see why God says he's got a wilderness, some place in the wilderness for the remnant who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to flee to for protection. Anyhow, moving on. So there are two different New World Orders. One New World Order where the Mystery Babylon controls the kings of the earth, and another where 10 kings reign 1 hour with the beast to control all the other kingdoms of the earth. And somewhere, at some point, Babylon falls, and this system takes over. 17 verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, the 10 kings, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God should or shall be fulfilled. Notice God put it in their hearts to do this. Why? He wants to punish Mystery Babylon. He wants to punish all those who lived it up. Like they're a part in like it was 1985 or whatever that saying is. And boy, is he going to do it. And he's got a people to do that. And it could be. It could just be an Islamic caliphate that many talk about that's arising today to be the headquarters of this, the ultimate New World Order, shifting from the West over to the East. For God to punish the West for our decadence and unfaithfulness and for all the other wickedness that's found within us that we've allowed. So God put it in their hearts to do that. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. This has to be in the end days. There has to be one city where all the kings of the earth gather together and is the headquarters, is the capital. And right now, New York is the capital of the United Nations. it's the capital of that. It's the capital of, many people say it's the capital of New Age mysticism, occultism. Again, it's the capital of all of the phony, crooked economic systems. And so forth. And some believe that the Statue of Liberty, and I'm still working on this, it's starting to look more and more to me that perhaps she is ISIS, Mystery Babylon. Remember all throughout history how she's always been there, the god? Yeah, I should probably go back to that slide. I'll see if I can find it here. Let's go all the way back. Oh, there it is. Now I got to go all through these. Here it is right here. Assyria, Egypt, okay, Ashtaroth, Venus. When you look at all this, it's all the same god. It's Mystery Babylon. Whenever you see the mother goddess, I think it was later Diana, I think in Rome as well. Or I don't know if it was Greece or Rome, but I think it was Rome. It was another name for Mystery Babylon. So, you know, when I look at it, and you go all the way. Now we got to find our spot here. Apologize for that. Okay. Yeah. That would almost make sense. That the Statue of Liberty represents Mystery Babylon, promising liberty to do whatever you want to do, to worship whatever god you want to worship. And so forth. As long as it's not ultimately not Christianity. Tolerance for all, but not the Bible believers. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So ultimately it ends in one city that seems to be a mystery. Verse 8, I'm going to go to Revelation 14, verse 8, real quick. I know we're getting close on time here. Don't want to go over an hour, but I'm going to read it. This has to do with the timing of the fall of Babylon. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And, it is said that World War I, World War II, as well as all these other wars that have been fought, have been financed from New York City, from bankers in New York City. And we could go on and on about that. But anyways, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, what happened here first? Babylon fell before the beast even rose. Because look at the angel says, Babylon's fallen. And then another angel comes after Babylon falls and says, hey, you better not worship the beast or his image. Therefore, the ten kings and the beasts arise after Mystery Babylon. And it looks just like this. Two different New World Orders. Mystery Babylon reigns over the beast, where the ten kings reign with the beast. Now, this possibly may be an Islamic caliphate. You know, I kind of poo-pooed that before and thought, no, that can't be. Until I read these scriptures a little closer and started realizing, hey, this something drastically different happens with the world order. And we're seeing it even in Europe today, where the Islamists are taking over the European nations. They're taking over. I mean, they're spreading in our country. Here in Minnesota, we have tons of Somalis flooding into our cities. And they don't like, they hate everything the Western world has been for quite a long time. So it only makes sense that they would be identified with the Ten Kings who hate the whore, who hate Mystery Babylon. In fact, they even attacked her. They attacked New York City. Interesting. Hey, we got some fascinating studies of Mystery Babylon coming up. And I hope you'll enjoy them. Hey, do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 4, when tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory.